Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
Is God good or what? Who believes God is good? Go ahead and give him a hand clap of praise tonight. Pastor Cash walked by me a minute ago and said, "Get up there and preach like you're from West Virginia." I said, if I do that, there's only one person in the room that'll understand a word I'm saying, and that's Sonny. Nobody else will understand the dialect. I have a lot of family in West Virginia. I'm not from West Virginia. However, I was born there. but I don't claim it. I don't know why. Sonny's going to have to talk to me after service about that. But actually, I was raised here in Florida, but I was born there. So I do claim my birth there in West Virginia. So did Pastor preach a word this morning or what? Pastor brought a word. It was awesome. I know he spoke a lot to my heart and to some other members of my family's hearts that were talking to me about it today. And I know that he spoke into a lot of people's hearts today. The Holy Spirit was moving, doing some healing and some work. And it was just it was a great feeling in this place this morning. And when the Holy Spirit works, that's always an awesome feeling. So I thought to myself this afternoon, how in the world can I come in and follow that up, which I can't. But what I am going to do is stand up here and just give you the word that God laid on my heart for you guys this week. And didn't know until yesterday. So if you're in the audience today and you called the church office about Friday afternoon and said, you know, I have some people coming, and I just want to make sure that Pastor Ronnie is preaching. And Sister Diana Worrell, our church secretary, came and knocked on my door because I was the only one here at the moment and said, hey, is Pastor Ronnie preaching this Sunday? And I said, as far as I know, he is. I said, but that could change in a moment's notice. But as far as I know, he is. And so she went back and said, as far as we know, he is. And then I found out yesterday afternoon that I was going to be preaching tonight. So I did not lie to you if you are in the audience tonight. That was not intentional. Tonight, the word that God laid on my heart. How many of you have ever watched any shows on the USA Network? On the USA Network, they have shows like Psych, you know, with Sean and Gus, and just some crazy characters they have on the show. And one of the slides or the advertisements for USA Network they have that's always caught my attention is characters welcome. That's what they say. Has anybody ever seen that? As an advertisement, they always say characters welcome because USA Network is known for their characters. They're known for some crazy, outlandish characters. And that, as a people, that's something that we enjoy, right? We enjoy outlandish characters. We enjoy craziness. We enjoy watching some people on TV and in the movies that are just out of this world, outlandish, weird, strange, you know, funny. And we like to laugh, and we like that sort of stuff. There's all types of different characters. Like if I said, you know, it's a Christmas season, it's about the time that you'll start seeing National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation on TV. And if I said Cousin Eddie, you know, it's going to bring some certain images to your mind probably from watching Christmas Vacation, right? You're going to think about probably some one-liners, some outfits, some facial expressions that Cousin Eddie has, right? And if I said Smeagol from Lord of the Rings, right? It would probably bring a certain image to your mind because that's a character from Lord of the Rings. If you thought about that, it would probably bring a certain image to your mind. Matter of fact, it makes me think about one of my daughters. I don't know if you've ever seen Lord of the Rings or seen Smeagol, but, you know, she doesn't look like Smeagol, but Kennedy does a great Smeagol impression. Matter of fact, you want to come up and give Smeagol? No? You sure? She's like, Dad, no. But she does, trust me, she does a great Smeagol impression. And it's Christmas time, so there are certain characters that revolve around Christmas. We watch a lot of movies, so you see things like Santa Claus, right? And Santa Claus brings certain images to your mind of what he may look like, right? And what he may act like or talk like. And then you have imagery like the Grinch. You know, you think about the Grinch at Christmas time, and that might bring certain imagery to your mind. It might make you think of certain people here in the church like Don Allender or something, but... (laughs) But if that's you, it's okay. You know, it's okay to have the, that imagery pop up in your mind. Just don't say it to his face, you know, because he might be offended by that. So don't do that. So there's certain character traits, you know, from movies and USA Network that we watch and we like, and they bring certain things to mind. Now, every time I've seen characters welcome on USA Network, it's prodded something in my spirit that within the church, within the kingdom of the church, that we should be saying character welcome, right? Strong character is welcome within the church. Strong character is welcome within the body of Christ. So that even though when we think of the USA Network and we think of all these crazy characters, when we think about the church, we should be thinking about the character of the church. So within the church, and the name of my message tonight is character welcome. Okay? You could turn with me to Matthew chapter 25. Some of you may already be there. You're there, say amen. I heard a hang on. As I begin to think about certain the character that Christians are required to have, who better to go to than the words of Jesus Christ himself? Amen. And what he says, because what is our ultimate goal, right? We just sing a song and we believe in the virgin birth, and we believe that Christ is coming back again, right? We believe we're going to stand before him in heaven one day. And when we do, Christ left us some messages of kind of what it's going to be like. So in this message in chapter 25 of Matthew, starting in verse 31, I just want to read on down to about 46. So if you follow with me. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, "Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you, a stranger, and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Then he will also say to those on his left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they will also will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. Let's pray. Father, I am but just a vessel up here this evening, Lord, and I just pray that you fill me up and pour me out to your people. I pray, Father, that as I open my mouth to speak, that your anointing would flow through me, that the words that you've given me to say, Father, would pierce hearts and go home and change lives and change households. And I pray that tonight in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Point number one tonight is this. Good works don't produce good character. However, good character does produce good works. I'm going to say that again. Good works don't produce good character. However, good character does produce good works. This doesn't mean that if you're doing good works, that you automatically have good character. Right? I mentioned some of the celebrities in Hollywood and television. I mentioned that. And you always see it on TV. You see celebrities that are going to third world nations and they're investing their lives into people and adopting children from third world nations and bringing them back and giving them lavish lives. Or you see celebrities that are running telethons or celebrities that are doing this and doing that for hurting or hungry or needy. You see those things happening. But then you see the same celebrities willfully living in sin. So doing good works doesn't naturally produce good character. Though within many denominations in the church, though within many churches within the kingdom of God, they preach only doing good works and that good works will get you to heaven. But I say to you tonight that doing good works will not get you into heaven. But having good character will produce good works through your life and then ultimately get you into heaven. Amen? 1 Samuel 16:7 says this, "For the Lord does not see as man sees. Man looks at the outer appearance, but the Lord looks upon the what? Upon the heart." So what that verse tells me and what that verse has always told me every time I see it is that the Lord could probably care less about some of the things that we do outwardly to impress other people. The things that we do outwardly that impresses our fellow man. The things that we do outwardly to get our name known for doing good works. The Lord could care less about that stuff if your heart isn't right. The Lord could care less about the things that you do if your heart isn't right. The Lord could care less if you come and sit in the service and lift your hands and sing the songs if your heart isn't right. The Lord looks upon the heart, and it's important that good character comes from having a heart that's dedicated to Christ, because good character doesn't just come on its own. It's not something that you can just wake up one day and say, you know what, I'm going to have good character and do it apart from Christ. That's something that is not possible apart from Christ. If we, man, are going to have good character, then we have to do it through Christ and through communion with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen? It's something that we have to do. Now, it said in that scripture that he will set his sheep on his right hand and his goats on the left. Now, I'm not, if you're anything like me, I'm not 100% crazy about being identified with either a sheep or a goat. But if you look back at the time period and the way he was talking and the way he was talking about it, let's take a look at exactly what he meant by the goats and the sheep. I think sheep we pretty much fully understand because we get the idea of the shepherd and that Jesus is our shepherd and that we are his flock, right? So we kind of understand sheep and the mindset of sheep. So what I want to focus on just for the next couple of minutes is the mindset or the traits of a goat. So this is something that may be eye-opening to you. It may be something that you go, oh man, that's something that the Lord's got to work out within me if I have certain mindsets or traits of a goat. Amen? And some of you say, well, I married one. And if you married one, I'm sorry, but Jesus can change them. So we'll keep praying. Pastor is looking at Don again. Don is just getting all kinds of flack tonight, aren't you? First trait of a goat. How many is in there? Has anybody in here ever owned a goat? Okay, quite a few of you have owned a goat, and I've seen some of your goats. So goats, a first trait is goats are stubborn. Does anybody disagree with that? Goats are stubborn. They're not easily moldable to where you want them to go and what you want them to do. Goats have a mindset completely of their own, and they are stubborn. Number two, and goes right along with that, goats are resistant to leadership. Goats do not like to be led. It's hard to grab a rope and lead a goat where you want it to go. Amen? Those of you that have goats. Number three, goats are always getting out of enclosures that are built for their own protection. You could stick a goat anywhere within an enclosure that you think they're going to be there when you get back, and they'll be gone when you get back. They do not stay within an enclosure that even though you've built it for their own protection, they still do not stay within those enclosures. Next one, they are never content. They could have the greenest grass and the greenest yard, and they are never content to stay within that yard and that grass. They're always looking at the next grass. And even if the next grass isn't quite as green, they still want to go taste it and just to find out. Goats are devious. Goats are devious. As, even if you haven't owned a goat, who's been in a petting farm or petting zoo? Has anybody ever walked in one? Have you ever got butted by a goat? Right? Yeah, that happens, right? Goats are devious. They're aggressive and they're headstrong. There is a type of goat that I read about last week called a Judas goat. Has anybody ever heard of a Judas goat? This is not a particular genetic type of goat, but this is a goat that is trained to do a certain thing. And what they train the Judas goat to do, and the reason it's called the Judas goat, is they train it to lead sheep to the slaughter. Has anybody ever heard of that? That takes it to a whole nother level, doesn't it? Devious and headstrong. They train a Judas goat to lead sheep to the slaughter. They literally go in, they corral the sheep, and then they lead them, and the sheep follow them right into their doom, right into their death. That's called the Judas goat for a reason. So if we look at the traits of a goat, and Jesus said the goats are on his left hand, the sheep are on his right hand, the goats are going into eternal punishment, and the sheep are going into eternal glory. Let's compare the traits of the goat physically to the traits of a goat spiritually. How about this? Unpredictable. Does anybody, and don't point at them if they're here tonight, does anybody know any Christians that are just unpredictable? You don't know this week to next week if they're serving Christ or not. Right? This week they're serving Christ, next week they're out. This week they're in church, next week they're out. This week they're nice as pie and do anything you need, next week they're cussing you out. Right? They're unpredictable. That's a spiritual trait of a goat. Next is above reproach and declines leadership. Right? Another spiritual trait of a goat. Above reproach, that means they don't like being told what to do. They don't like it when Pastor Ronnie comes to them and corrects them for an attitude or corrects them for an action. They don't like being corrected. They don't like being told what to do. And they decline leadership. They say, I am my own boss. They decline leadership. They refuse to come under the headship of whoever God has placed over them in their life. They refuse it. They refuse it. They still may be part of a group. They still may come to church, but they refuse headship. They refuse leadership. The next one, they are independent of the rules or the law. They're independent of what God has laid out within his word on how they should live their life, how they should follow their life. They are independent of that. They don't put any stock in that. They read it. They may lift a hand and agree with it. But in their life, the way they live it out is very different. They may praise God with their lips, but deny him by their lifestyle. That's a trait of a spiritual goat. Wants to take over. Has trouble functioning in a group. That's a trait of a spiritual goat. Rebels against the shepherd. When I wrote this, I put an uppercase S there because it's not just the shepherds within the church that they rebel against, but they rebel against Jesus Christ himself. And you say, well, how does a Christian rebel against Jesus Christ? What do you mean? Because they've said the prayer. They've raised a hand in a service. They've accepted him into their heart. How are they rebelling against Jesus Christ? Because they've said the prayer. They've accepted him into his heart, but they have lived like they never had. Right? Basically, I heard Pastor preach a message a few weeks ago talking about a Christian atheist. Right? He mentioned a Christian atheist in a message, and that's claiming God with your lips, but denying him by your lifestyle. They've lifted their hands to accept Christ in their heart, but they were still living like they never have. So they're rebelling not only against the headship and the shepherd of the house, but they're rebelling against the shepherd, Jesus Christ himself. And why do you think they rebel against Jesus Christ? Because they don't trust him. A spiritual goat does not trust the shepherd of the house, and a spiritual goat does not trust the shepherd. They claim, and maybe not even forthright, maybe not even with their lips, hey, you know, I know better, but they do it by their actions, right? They don't trust the Lord with every area of their heart. They may have laid down one or two areas of their lives to Jesus, but they don't trust him with the rest of their life. They maintain and they hold and they corral parts of their life for themselves. They don't trust the shepherd completely. That's a goat. A goat does not trust the shepherd. A sheep trusts the shepherd. A sheep will go where the shepherd leads them. The shepherd will also go rescue a sheep when they get into trouble, right? A goat does not trust the shepherd. It will not follow the shepherd's direction. A false teacher, or one who instigates lawlessness or rebellion within the church. What do you mean by that, Steve? That means listening to a sermon by a pastor, walking out and disagreeing with it in the hallway and trying to get three or four other people to agree with you. That's instigating lawlessness and rebellion within the church, both against the shepherd and the shepherd. It's not coming under leadership. And always looking over the next fence. Does anybody know any church hoppers? Now, I'm not saying that if you change churches that you're a goat. That's not what I'm saying. But there are goats who change churches a lot because they can't come under leadership and they can get by with it for a little while, but eventually they get called on it and they have to get up and move on. And they have to move on to another church. So that's what I'm talking about. Here's a quote for you out of a book that I read. 66% of modern-day evangelical Christians admit that their lifestyles have not been changed by their conversion. 66%. I hope that statistic isn't true. I pray to God that statistic isn't true, right? 66% have said they've had an event. They've had something, an event in their life where they've agreed, I'm going to lay down my life. I'm going to lay down my life to Christ, and then left and picked it right back up, right? And then walk around claiming Christianity, but not living it, right? So what is that? That's the opposite of character. That's the opposite of integrity. Amen? They're not flowing in the true currency of the kingdom, which brings us to point number two tonight. And point number two is this. Love is the currency of the kingdom of God. Love is the currency of the kingdom of God. Jesus said, they will know you by the way you love one another. Who was he talking to? He was talking to Christians, right? They weren't called Christians back then, but he was talking to the apostles. He was talking to the disciples. He was talking to Christians. He was talking to you and me. Who is they? They is the outside world. They is those outside of the church that they will know that we are disciples of Christ. In other words, they will know that we have character. They will know that we stand up and to our morals, that we know that we stand for our beliefs. They'll know that we follow Jesus by how we treat each other. Not how we treat them. That's not what he said. He didn't say, they'll know you follow me by how you treat them. They said, they'll know you're a follower by how you treat each other. How many have seen Christians eating their own Christians? Right? How many have seen cannibalism happen within the church? How many have seen Christians shoot their wounded? Right? Somebody falls, they're wounded, and rather than gathering around him and picking him back up and restoring him and believing in him and praying for him, they shoot him. They stand around and they talk about them and they fire darts at them, right? How often does that happen within the church? And I know I'm giving you heavy stuff tonight, I know, but this is something the Lord has really been dealing with me. The Lord has really been dealing with me in my heart on discipleship and discipling, that if we are the disciples of Christ, then we're to go out and disciple, not sit on our hands. Not sit on our seats, but you know what? We can't go out and disciple if our character is not up to par. We can't go tell people to trust Jesus if we're not trusting Jesus. So we, the Sunday night crowd, which is the reason I went ahead and decided to preach this message tonight, have the utmost responsibility as the Sunday night crowd, as the people who are at almost every service, the people who disciple others, the Sunday school teachers, the worship leaders, the worshipers on stage, that you have the utmost responsibility to have your character in check so that when you go to disciple others, they can't look back at you and say, yeah, but look at you. We have to have our character in check so that we can go into the world and disciple others. Jesus didn't say, get saved and sit on a pew. Jesus said, go out into all the world and make disciples. That's what Jesus commanded us to do. So we as a church people need to be doing that. We especially as a Sunday night crowd need to be grabbing and coming alongside people who walk into our church on Sunday mornings. People who are far from God and people who have just met Him. We need to be coming alongside those people and linking arms with them and discipling them in this life. So what is the currency of the kingdom of God? You said you can't buy your way into heaven. You're right. You can't buy your way into heaven with money or works, but you can with love, because love is the currency of heaven. Love is the currency to buy your way into heaven, is loving, because you can't get into heaven unless you have first loved the Father and then you love people. If you don't love the Father and love people, I'm sorry, but you're probably not going to heaven. That's just me. Okay? But when the Pharisees stood up and said, Jesus, excuse me, what are the two greatest commandments? You shall love the God your Father with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. That was the two greatest commandments that he answered them with. Did he say, you shall argue online for hours on end about theology? Hey, that's got its place. I'm not knocking that. I like to do it every once in a while. I enjoy it, but that's got its place. I'm not knocking it, okay? But what's the most important? Loving God and loving others. Love is the currency of the kingdom. Love is what brings in new disciples. Love is what builds people up. You can't tear people down and love them at the same time. It doesn't work. I've tried it. No, I haven't tried it. You can't tear people down and love them at the same time. Jesus made it very clear in the piece of scripture that I read tonight. He said, love each other, right? They said, how are the righteous getting into heaven? Because you fed me, you gave me drink, visited me, you clothed me. What are you doing when you're doing all those things for somebody? You're loving them. You're loving them. That's what he said. He didn't say anything else. He didn't say, well, you're getting in because you argued theology. You're getting in because you went after all those false prophets on Facebook. You're getting in because you... No. He said, you're getting in because you loved the least of these. El Shaddai is a perfect example of getting in to heaven because you're loving the least of these. They're giving them drink. They're giving them food. And when they can, they're sneaking in some prayer. There's some rules and regulations there, so... But they do. When people ask for it, they take them in and they give them prayer. And I guarantee you they pray for those people, whether they know it or not, before they even get there. Right? That's the example of following Jesus. That's the example of serving Jesus, is love. Nothing else. Everything else has its place. I'm not knocking everything else. But first, love your Father. Secondly, love others. First and second. You can't enter heaven without loving people first. You can't be a goat and enter into eternal life. If some of those qualities tonight hit you in the gut a little bit, then get them right. Don't walk through life with goat traits in your life that you don't take care of. Take care of them. How do I know if I'm a goat? How do I know if I'm a full-fledged goat? Does your heart break for people? If your heart doesn't break for people, chances are you're a goat. I'm sorry to say it. You know why? Because goats are all about me. Goats are not about other people. They're not about love. They're all about me. Does your heart break for other people? Do you love and trust your leader, or do you sow discord and disunity within this church? How do I know if I'm a goat? Do you love people? Does your heart break for people? Are you gossiping and sowing discord and disunity? Or are you loving and trusting and serving your leadership? Which way is it? Amen? Number three, evaluate yourself often and keep a short account with God. Evaluate yourself often and keep a short account with God. Ask yourself, how do you know? How do I know, Steve? How do I know when I'm about to make a goat move? Because I am moving so fast that I want to try to get it over with before somebody stops me. That's how I know. Because I'm trying to get it done. Because I know the Holy Ghost is going to stop me or my wife's going to stop me. One of the two. Right? That's the two paracletes in my life. The Holy Spirit and my wife. So I know one of the two are going to stop me if I don't do it quickly. So I have to move quickly to do a goat move within my life. So ask yourself, before you do something, before you say something, especially when your emotions are raw, when you're high, when your emotions are running high and you're upset, ask yourself, is this a goat move or is this a sheep move? Which is it? Would the shepherd, capital S, be proud of what I'm about to do or say? And if not, it's a goat move. In 2 Samuel, David, we find him in a conversation with Nathan. Nathan was a priest and a prophet. He came to David because David had stolen Bathsheba from another man, had him killed in battle so that he could have her and hide the pregnancy. And he did all of this in secret and had Bathsheba, married her, moved her into the kingdom. And Nathan came to him, and rather than just calling him out on his sin up front because he might have lost his head, he told him a story. Story of a rich man who had many lambs. And then he told him the story of a poor man who had one lamb, and he loved that lamb. It was all he had. He loved it. He went to bed at night and slept with it. He petted it like a pet. He cuddled with that lamb. Word says. That's how I interpret it. Make sure. He loved that lamb. And then the rich man had company. Rather than slaughter one of his many lambs, he went and took the poor man's and slaughtered it, fed it to his company. And David was enraged. He jumped off his throne and said, "Who was the fool that did that?" And Nathan said, "You are that fool." Right? David was stopped in his tracks. Because he recognized it then. How many times do you know that sometimes you're doing something in your life that's a goat move? You're doing things within your life that are goat things and you don't even recognize it. Maybe it's religious spirits that are hiding it, or maybe it's something that you're just so into this or so involved in your own emotions that you don't even recognize that you're doing something evil, that you're doing something wrong, that it doesn't make the shepherd proud. And then you hear the story of someone else doing the exact same thing and you start to get puffed up and arrogant about it. And then you realize it's you. You are that man. David despised himself in that moment. Let's not wake up one day, church, and realize that we were that man. You know, I have a few more sub points, but there was an individual that we allowed into our life that I trusted. And I trusted him with all my heart. Brought him into my family. Allowed him into my inner circle. And I trusted him. Betrayed me. Not only betrayed me, but betrayed my family. Not only hurt me, but hurt my family. Then he was gone. And I was forced with dealing with the pain and with the hurt of that situation. And being a man, I did a goat move when I found out some stuff that made me extremely angry rather than taking a moment and praying about it and allowing God to heal those hurts. Jumped up and I ran out before either paraclete talked to me. And I ran out and I went and I confronted them. And I yelled up one side and down the other. And I degraded him in front of other people. And then got in my car and left. And thought, like David, that I had done a good thing. And it was all right. I was hiding my goat move. Drove home with my head held high because I didn't cuss and because I didn't hit him. hey, I'm good, right? God, you can't convict me for that. I didn't do either one. Had every right to. Didn't do either one. I'm good. About a month, 2 months, maybe 3 months later, sitting in my office and I'm writing a message on anger and forgiveness and grace. And the Holy Spirit said, you remember when you did this? Has anybody ever been offended by the Holy Spirit? I was so offended, I literally jumped out of my seat. Jumped out of my seat and I paced my office. And I yelled at him, I didn't cuss, I didn't hit him, I did not lose my sanctification. I maintained my integrity, Lord. There was nothing that I did wrong. And he said, you were disobedient. You should have never went and handled it like that. And then he disclosed to me the reasons why. Because I had the Lord in my life. I had a good grip on God. And I was going to be okay no matter that I was hurt. No matter that he did me wrong. No matter that I walked away with some pain. I was going to be okay. But because of my actions, he wasn't. And he was going to walk away from God. I don't know if you've ever been humbled because you weren't looking at the big picture and you were looking at the small clip and your own rights and what you deserve and you and you and you and you and your hurts and your pains and you weren't looking at the big picture and what it could have cost. So I had to be obedient, and the Lord said to me that I had to go apologize. This person harmed my family. They hurt members of my family. They harmed me. They hurt me. And God told me to go apologize to them. It took me a little while to be obedient. I argued with God for a few weeks. Argued with members of my family for a few weeks because they didn't want me to do it either. Not my paraclete. But the moment that it came and I said to the Lord, Lord, if you give me the opportunity, then I will do it. Father, I don't know that I can go and seek it out, but if you give me the opportunity, then I will be obedient. When I had the opportunity, not to restore this person to my life, not to restore this person to my family, but to restore them back to God. Whether they made that decision or not, I had to correct the things that I did to alter that path. Ever seen Back to the Future or anything like that? Right? There's things that you do. There's butterfly effect, right? As a little flap of the wing over here becomes a hurricane over here. That's why it's so important, church, to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit tells you to do something, be obedient to that. Because I don't know. I did apologize. I had the opportunity to. I received an apology back, which I was not expecting. Received it. Forgiven. Moved on with my life. Clear conscience. Right? All minds and hearts clear. Clear conscience. I walked away from it. But I had to be obedient with God because I didn't know what was going to happen down the road in that situation if I wasn't. And I can stand here and be self-righteous about the hurts and everything that has occurred to my own family, or that I can be obedient to Christ and love the least of these. Or I can be obedient with Christ and let him work character out within me. Because how many of you know it's not just a one-time event? You don't get saved at the altar and even get filled with the Holy Ghost and all of a sudden have a righteous character. Right? It doesn't happen that way. It's a process. Sometimes it stinks. Sometimes it hurts. But man, when you see the big picture, oh wow, is that amazing. When you impact lives because you've been obedient to Christ, that is amazing. want to give the opportunity tonight. I know that I'm not the only man in this church or the only person in this place that has held grudges or the only person in this place that has been disobedient in what Christ is telling you to do, what the Holy Spirit is nudging you to do in a certain situation. And maybe you're sitting in these seats tonight and you're thinking, good for you. I'm glad you could do that. I don't know all the details, but I could never forgive them. I could never go apologize to them. I could never let that go. Maybe that's where you're at right now in your mind. Maybe you want to let it go. You don't want to continue to drink that poison, but maybe you just don't know how, or you just think you can't. Maybe you bought into the lies of the enemy that that's just the way it is and they deserve it and you're just going to move on about your life. And you've never got it covered under the blood. You've never got the situation corrected. You haven't even taken it to God. You haven't even given him the opportunity because you've kept that for yourself. If that's you tonight and you're sitting in this place, I would like our pastoral staff and our lead pastor to have an opportunity to pray with you if that's you. So as Dennis begins to sing, if you're here tonight and it might only be one of you, if it's one of you, come up here. Don't let your pride get in the way. Walk up here and receive prayer for that. Get it off of your chest. Allow the Holy Spirit time to go in and work on you and give you direction on how to get past that section of your life or that part of your life. It may be something that happened 40 years ago, or it may be something that happened last week. It doesn't matter. Our God is a great big God. Amen. How many of you know that he doesn't just move you past life situations and big situations that happen and where you lose loved ones and you have certain instances like that, but he can also help you to move past situations where you've had loss and pain in your heart, where you've had loss and pain in your emotions. He wants to heal that in you as well. So as Dennis sings, I'm going to just put out that invitation. If you're here tonight and you're dealing with that and you want prayer for that in your life, just begin to move forward.
Have thine own way, Lord.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. and again in the evening at 6 p.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.